Exodus chapter 20. We'll be looking at verse 13, but let's read down through the commandments, all of them again. It's found on page 68 in the Pew Bible. Page 68, Exodus chapter 20. Let us hear God's word, His holy, inspired, and inerrant word this morning. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. So in the reading of God's word, let us pray together. Lord, how we thank you for giving to us a standard of righteousness that mankind may know what Almighty God has established, what is right and what is wrong, what is important. And we thank you that for those who are not Christians, it shows them how far they fall short of your glory, and that they need a Savior because they've broken your law. And for those of us who are Christians, we have a way of pleasing you, something we can do to thank you for your grace, because Jesus kept the law for us, paid for our sins, and kept the law for us, and we have his righteous keeping of the law given to our account. Bless us now as we look into your word, and teach us, we pray, for we need you to open our hearts and our understanding. Apply your word to our souls, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something wonderful and encouraging in knowing that you're special. I remember being up north, Northern Pennsylvania, not too long ago, and I was coming out of a convenience store, not up as far as Bill is, but up in Northern Pennsylvania. I was coming out of a convenience store, and there was a young fellow who went out just before me, and he was holding the door for me. And as I was coming out, I said to him, "Well, thank you, sir." And he kind of, as he was coming out, and he said, stopped and said, "Well, you can thank me, but I'm not a sir." He said, "I'm a junk hauler." And he showed me his truck. He pointed to his truck and it had a lot of junk on it. And there was a time at that time where the thoughts came to me right. Doesn't always happen. But I looked at him and I said, but you're made in the image of God. You are a sir. And he stopped in his tracks and he looked at me and he smiled. And he said, yeah, I guess you're right. I am a sir. You see, society has done so much to destroy the dignity of man by their standards. And this commandment establishes the dignity of man. It tells us why man is special. You see, commandments 5 through 10 deal with the sanctity of various aspects of society. This is God's morality, His ethics. It forbids the taking of life, for sure, even your own life. You see, there's no direct object in this commandment in verse 13. It doesn't say, you shall not murder so-and-so or this group of people. You shall not murder that person. You shall not murder yourself. You see, there's no direct object. It means any aspect of murder. Now, it doesn't forbid self-defense. It talks about this in Exodus 22, verse 2. It's found on page 70 in your Pew Bible. Or just wars. You see that through the Old Testament. Or what the government, a righteous government, is supposed to do for people in Romans 13, 3 and 4. Found in page 1009 in the Pew Bible. So, it forbids the taking of unrighteous, unjustifiable life. That's what the commandment is talking about. And that's why there's no direct object. So, it really deals with the dignity of man. That's what the sixth commandment deals with. So, let's look at this together. And see if we can come to understand why man is important and why some people don't seem to think so. First of all, notice the basis of man's dignity. Notice the basis of man's dignity. Three things I'd like you to notice about this dignity, the basis of man's dignity. First of all, you have dignity because you were created by God. You have dignity because you were created by God. Man was God's highest creation, and He gave him authority over all He created on earth. You can see this in Genesis. But you see, we didn't evolve from some kind of a microorganism or something like that. God made Adam and Eve. We are descendants from Adam and Eve. We have been created by God. You were created by God. And that makes you very special. You have dignity because you were created by God. And we have to remember that. People have to remember that. So often people think and act like their lives don't matter. But look at man. Look at the details and how God made us. Arms and legs and mind, the mind He gave us and the uniqueness of man created by God. Secondly, you have dignity because you were created in the image of God. You have dignity because you were created in the image of God. Man has been given a soul, made in God's image, and that makes him different and of more value than any other creation, any other creature that God made. You see, that's the reason why you see capital punishment in the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, found on page 9 in the Pew Bible. Found on page 9 in the Pew Bible. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Look at what it says. has God given instructions here regarding this. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. See that? Why? Why if someone kills someone, why should that person be killed as well? Well, because the person he killed was made in the image of God. And no one has the right to take that person's life but God. Thirdly, you have dignity because you were created for the glory of God. You have dignity because you were created for the glory of God. Your value and dignity comes from being created in the image of God, not what the world is telling you. The world tells you you have dignity if you look good, if you're successful, if you're wealthy, if you have knowledge, if you have this degree or that degree. And that is not where your dignity comes from. But that's what the world is telling you, isn't it? Look at all the advertisements. Look at the magazines. You always see what we would classify the perfect person. Very interesting, if you go back to the Renaissance period, it was the heavyset women that were considered attractive. They were the ones who were painted. Their photos were, they were painted. That's the ones that they were considered attractive. The skinny ones were, yeah. Interesting. But you see, that's not right to judge your dignity on those things. But you see, that's what the world does. And so many people are buying into that. They starve themselves because they want to be skinny to the point where they become anorexic. Don't judge yourself based upon what the world does. Looks, prestige, money, age, all those things. And you know there are people in this world who are angry, who are hurting, who feel rejected and full of hatred, wanting nothing to do with anyone because they were told and treated in different ways that they had no dignity because, well, they didn't have the best looks and they were overweight and they couldn't play sports and they couldn't sing and they couldn't do this and there was just nothing special according to the world. Therefore, they just kind of didn't fit in with the groups, the school and everything, you know. That is so wrong. The Bible does not teach that. And that kind of thinking hurts people terribly. My dad, he was a child. He was told by his parents that they didn't want him. Actually told that they wish he wasn't born. And that affected him terribly. Felt rejected, felt like no one loved him, and it affected his behavior. A very violent, angry man. Some of you knew him, but when he got older in life, he kind of mellowed, and his children showed him love, which he started to receive, and his life changed and began to mellow. And some of you that knew him, you saw a much different person. But he was like that. And I'm convinced it was because of the way he was raised by his parents. quit school as soon as he could enlist in the military. But had a terrible, angry personality. Trouble with alcohol. But he didn't feel like he had any dignity. Very interesting. Didn't talk to his father for years. His father came to our house one day. Wanted to talk to him. They went out on the front porch. He talked to him. Overheard some of the conversation where my grandfather said he was sorry for some of the things, for the things that had occurred, and he wanted to start seeing him, and he wanted to make things right. Well, one week later, my grandfather, his father, died of a heart attack. My father was so affected by that, he drove his car off a road into a ditch. The first time I ever saw my father cry. It has an effect upon people. Dignity. He thought he was going to get some of that from his father now in life. But he was taken away. The basis of man's dignity comes from the scriptures, from the fact of what they tell us, that man is created in God's image. Don't listen to the world. Don't let them tell you that you have to have this or that or be this way or that way to be important, to be special. Secondly, as we consider the dignity of man, notice the attack against man's dignity. The attack against man's dignity. Is man's dignity under attack? Well, no doubt. Three things I'd like you to see about the attack against man's dignity. First, the foundation of your dignity is under attack. The foundation is under attack. You might say, why do we have a commandment like this at all? Because of man's heart. How important today? Look at society, movies, TV. Very lifelike murders. Murder, murder, murder. Look so lifelike. And life doesn't mean very much, does it? In movies and TV. You just kill someone. Doesn't matter. However the story goes, somebody gets killed. Very lifelike. And does it have an impact on people? You bet it does. Back, I think it was the late 70s. There was a man in his 30s who was in a mental institution in Harrisburg. And they let him come home to visit his family over Christmas holiday. He had a 9-year-old brother. And his 9-year-old brother was deathly afraid of his older brother, his 30-year-old brother, who was in this mental institution. Well, this 30-year-old brother watched an episode of Charlie's Angels where someone stabbed someone multiple times on this episode of Charlie's Angels, lifelike. So he decided that he would take a knife and go stab his brother, his 9-year-old brother, multiple times to death. And that's what he did. He murdered his brother. Saw it on television. Looked kind of neat. It does have an effect. Man's dignity is under attack. 25 years ago, 30 years ago, would you see on television what we're seeing today? Homosexuals kissing on television? Never. Foundation of your dignity is under attack. Secondly, notice the source of your dignity is no longer derived from Scripture. The source of your dignity is no longer derived from Scripture. You know, years ago, abortion, they used to say, we don't know for sure when life begins. Therefore, we have a right to be able to do this. Well, as the technology advanced, we now have the technology to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it begins at conception. So, they changed their argument to a woman's right. She has a right to do what she wants to do. Oh, okay. Child's conceived, supposed to have rights under the Constitution, so she has the right to kill. For convenience. Euthanasia. When sinful man says, you lost your value or usefulness. Therefore, it's time for you to go. Remember what Hitler did to those who were disabled or retarded? Simply got rid of them. People, Germany didn't know this was going on. A few of them did, but he was doing all kinds of things people didn't know. The foundation of the Bible is no longer used to establish values. It's whatever the sinful elite want to happen. The attack on man's dignity. You see, when there are no absolutes, anything can go. Absolutely anything can happen. Thirdly, the re-education of your dignity has its origin in humanistic philosophy. The re-education of your dignity has its origin in humanistic philosophy. All influenced by philosophy of evolution. Evolution lowers man's dignity. God is the only one who has the right to take a life. But you know what? They were very clever. They got into the public school system. The homosexual movement did that. They were a very small minority. Yet they got their teeth into the school's curriculum. And by doing that, they could change the thinking of a generation of children. If you don't believe me, you talk to Michelle Larson. She was involved with meetings and has papers and curriculum and things. She was very much involved with the initial things that they were going to do. And it happened. Schools, all influenced children. You really better think about public school as an option these days. TVs, music, movies, they're all working at re-education. And they affect how you look at people, what you think. They affect your dignity. And you know, things can do that. Things can affect your dignity. And not just that, but sometimes when bad things happen, you lose. You begin to wonder, don't you? Kind of a little bit of a humorous story here, but there was a man who was robbed very frequently. His name was Mike Marion. The most versatile of all crime victims is no doubt this Passaic, New Jersey man. Over the course of 5 years, he basically got very confused and was very upset. But over the course of 5 years, he endured 83 muggings. It's a true story. And was hospitalized 20 times. In achieving that record, he was knifed, shot at twice, lost several teeth, robbed of $2,000 in cash, robbed of several bags of groceries, four automobiles. According to the newspapers, the police offered him a walkie-talkie as a quick way of summoning help, but he turned them down and said, "They'd only take that from me anyhow." Think you got it bad. But things can affect you. And when things begin to negatively affect people, you begin to become overwhelmed and depressed and you give up. The attack against man's dignity. They're re-educating you. They're trying to re-educate you. What happens now at movies? Today, you ask someone, "Oh, how was that movie?" "Oh, it was okay. They only took God's name in vain four times." Well, only four times. Years ago, you'd never go if they said it once. See, they're re-educating us. We've lost our sensitivity. Now, lastly, thirdly, the safeguard for man's dignity. The safeguard for man's dignity. Three things here. First of all, guard your heart because of the teaching of the world. Guard your heart because of the teaching of the world. Recognize the danger and root of the problem, the heart of man. Look with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. It's found on page 1083 in the Pew Bible. Page 1083, 1 John. First John chapter 3, verse 15. Listen to what it says. "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Recognize the danger and the root of the problem, the heart of man. The natural man is not at peace with you. It may seem nice, but John says they're murderers. Their hearts are not right. Guard your heart. Don't let people subtly influence you. Secondly, think biblically because of the influence of the world. Think biblically because of the influence of the world. This commandment is addressed to Christians because we still have remnants of sin, don't we? And we have to be on guard. We have to be on guard because of the remnants of sin. Listen to what John 15, verse 12 says. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, that commandment for love is not a new commandment. But when Jesus says, "As I have loved you," that makes it a new commandment. As he has loved you. Because of the influence of the world, guard your hearts. Guard your hearts. See, that is something we have to do. We've got to recognize our weakness. You need to recognize your weakness and understand that they will attack that. Satan will use that. Then thirdly, act righteously because of the behavior of the world. Murder has many faces. Look with me at Matthew chapter 5 for a moment. Matthew chapter 5. It's found on page 852 in the Pew Bible. Page 852. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. Listen to what Jesus says about murder. How dangerous it is. It's not just outward murder. That's what he's saying here. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. See that? Danger without a cause. Anger! The hand, the tongue, the mind. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. He talks about that as well. You see, there are steps that lead to murder. Envy and jealousy and anger and hatred. All these things. The world lives like this. Will you safeguard the dignity of man? If the church won't do it, who will? You are the salt and the light of the world. And you will only find personal peace and dignity in living a life that pleases God. That's the only way you will live a life that pleases God. Because if you buy into the world, you'll never be satisfied. Listen to this story about Henry Martin. Oswald Sanders speaks of this man. He says, in his book, he writes the book The Round of Pleasure regarding a very wealthy man. And he talks about millionaires, how they're usually lonely, and how comedians are often more unhappy than the audience. He goes on to emphasize that being unsuccessful often produces satisfaction, or being successful often fails to produce satisfaction. He then refers to Henry Martin, a distinguished scholar, as an example of what he is talking about. Martin, a Cambridge University student, was honored at only 20 years of age for his achievements in mathematics. In fact, he was given the highest recognition possible in that field, and yet he felt emptiness inside. He said that instead of finding fulfillment in his achievements, he had only grasped a shadow. He wasn't doing what God really wanted him to do. After evaluating his life goals, Martin sailed to India as a missionary. He was a Christian at age 24. When he arrived, he prayed, Lord, let me burn out for you here. In the next 7 years, preceding his death, he translated the New Testament into three very difficult Eastern languages. These notable achievements were certainly not passing shadows, but accomplished a great deal for the Lord's kingdom. See, you won't find dignity in doing things of the world. Only what you find. Now, not everybody is going to find peace in going on the mission field, but in serving God, whatever it is He's called you to do, not listening to the world. Be careful. Live for the world. You know, I often wonder how the Apostle Paul had to address the attacks from the evil one about the murderers he was involved with regarding the early church, Acts 7 with Stephen and others. how thankful we are that we have a Savior that paid for all our sins, including the sins of His people who committed unjustice, unrighteous murders, and who here hasn't had hatred in their heart, which Jesus says is just like murdering someone. This commandment shows those who are not Christians that they need a Savior. And those who are Christians, it shows you God's standard of righteousness, His ethics. He wants you to stand up for the dignity of man. Will you go against the current of this world? And when you present the gospel, will you let sinners know that they were created in the image of God? Sin is the curse of this world, and the gospel is the only hope for whoever will call upon the name of the Lord. And that is the only way that the dignity of man can truly be restored to sinful man. The only way that the dignity of man will be restored.